It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Jeff Risley. Jeff is Executive Director, Renewable Energy Farmers of America. You've been thinking about renewable energy leases? You'll want to hear this. First off, Dan Bossi, President, Ag Resource, says the market knows.
Well, as we look out in the next 3 years for corn and soybean and wheat producers, the markets are all at the same price in DEIS corn for 27, 28, 29, soybeans 27, 28, and 29, same on wheat. So the market's at break even for the American farmer, not at a premium that's buying more acreage. So normally these kind of relationships are not what we see in deferred futures. So when I say the market knows that we are not trying to buy more supply. It's looking at Washington to maybe do something in policy to get us in a different spot in demand that will help out the American farmer.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and today we're joined by Jeff Risley. Jeff is the Executive Director, Renewable Energy Farmers of America. Had to take a breath before I said the name of the group, Jeff, but welcome to the show.
Thanks, Donnie. Really appreciate being here.
Okay. I'm going to ask who the Renewable Energy Farmers of America is in a moment, but let's first start with you. Did you grow up on a farm?
I did, actually. I grew up on a farm in Lane County in western Kansas, not too far from like Garden City, Scott City, that area, dry land farm, still in the family. My parents are retired and we've leased it out, but I maintain involvement and, you know, am very proud of what our family has built over the generations there.
Okay, is it safe to just move to the question of who the Renewable Energy Farmers of America are and why do you even exist?
Yeah, of course. We created the Renewable Energy Farmers of America to solve a couple of problems. You know, one, there was no place for, you know, farm and rancher landowners to turn to when they were getting approached by these renewable energy developers about leasing their land. And we knew that, you know, commodity associations and associations in general were something that landowners were very familiar with. So we believed by creating a farmer-led organization that had other farmer and rancher members as landowners, who were either hosting renewable energy projects or who were interested in it, that we'd be able to actually then serve as a service organization to them, a place for them to allow peer-to-peer networking, get education, you know, everything to help them navigate renewable energy decisions and make the best decision for their land and their livelihood. So we created it last year, launched it, and we're in our second year now.
Okay, I've got so many questions here. I'll try to get them all in before we run out of time or before you throw me out the door. But, you know, one of the questions here I think has to be is, how do you know if one of these leases is a good idea? I mean, is it possible to say, hey, it checks all the boxes. This one's good.
Yeah, the answer is yes, it can, but it doesn't mean that, you know, leasing your ground for renewable energy is right for everyone or every parcel. So you really have to look at it case by case. And what you're really looking for here is to understand a couple of things. Number one, not just what the payment terms are for the lease, although that's important, especially, you know, in this economy, in this farm economy, it can be a secure long-term income stream. But you also want to think about how does this impact my whole farming operation? You know, this is a 25 to 40 year lease potentially for wind or solar and storage. You know, what am I going to be able to continue farming and grazing? What about tax and succession and estate planning issues? So, you know, think about the things that can impact your operation as well as bring payment. And there are absolutely, you know, things to look for in a lease that I'm happy to share as well.
Okay. You know, I guess how would I spot not just a good deal, but a fair deal here? You know, what are some of those items we need to be looking for?
Yes. And just as a side note, that's one of the services we provide to members is non-legal lease review. We're able to look at these, you know, projects and say, okay, we're looking for things like, you know, what's the land use limits, you know, exactly where might these wind turbines or ultimately solar arrays be placed, and what will they be able to continue farming potentially? You know, the payment structure itself, are there escalators in there to protect against inflation? You think about things like construction access. So when you move past leasing and into construction, you know, it can be very disruptive. So making sure that your operation isn't disrupted indefinitely and you're able to actually still work around your ground. You've got to think about things at the end of life as well for this project. So you make sure that you have provisions in the lease for either repowering, it's called, or decommissioning. Repowering is bringing in new technology and keeping the project running, and decommissioning is removing it entirely and bringing the land back to the place it was. You know, the interesting thing about renewable energy is yes, it takes land potentially out of production, but not indefinitely like, you know, housing or commercial development can. So, but it is a decision that's long term that you need to really think about. And that's what we help, you know, our members step through.
You know, I live near some wind farms at this point and some solar going in very rural areas here. But, you know, I'm kind of watching the turbines there and I'm going, okay, we're not quite to 20 years yet. We're getting close. What happens when we hit the end of a lease?
Yeah, you're exactly right. In fact, a lot of wind farms and several of our members, in fact, have had their wind farms over 20 years. And you know, that brings about, as I said, those two kind of options. And it really depends on what was written in the original lease. But more than often, they are allowed to either decommission the project because it's just no longer feasible for the developer, which means they literally tear it down, even underground, remove as much as they possibly can to restore the ground so that you can farm it and ranch it the way you did, you know, 20 plus years ago, you know, or they're going to repower. They're going to bring in new equipment, new turbines, potentially. They're taller, longer blades, you know, bigger megawatts per tower. So there's fewer of them. So that means a continuation of those lease payments for you and your family.
We're talking with Jeff Risley, the Renewable Energy Farmers of America. This is the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at deltapine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our guest, Jeff Risley. Jeff is Executive Director, Renewable Energy Farmers of America. All right, Jeff, we've been talking about who REFA is, how we know if leasing is a good idea here. You know, as we go through this, though, I'm kind of wondering about the whole neighborhood pressure thing. And how do you handle that?
Yeah, great question. And we recognize it. This is, you know, landowners, farmers and ranchers are part of a community. But we remind our members and landowners that, you know, at the end of the day, this is a private property decision. This is your right as a property owner to choose what to do with your land. Nobody tells you what crops to farm. So they're also, you know, don't necessarily have the right to tell you what to do with renewable energies. Now, having said that, you do live within a community and we want to make sure that this benefits the community, and it very well can. In fact, most of these projects are generating millions of dollars in taxes or pilot payments or other ways that fund desperately needing rural communities. But what we try to advise our, folks is that, look, when dealing with neighbors, bear in mind that most of the conflict comes from misinformation or sometimes even disinformation intentionally. It's not about bad intent. And so we try to be as helpful to them by giving them very factual information so they can be, transparent and calm and factual and not defensive when talking about their projects. And part of that misinformation or disinformation too, Tony, stems from just an understanding about this technology that's so different than anybody usually deals with in their day-to-day life. I'll just give you one for example. If you zoom out in the United States, there's 897 million acres of farm and ranch land. Currently, solar only occupies a fraction of a percent. It's actually 0.014%. So even if you project out the total solar that's in the interconnection queues by 2030, you're still going to be less than a percent of farmland that's taken out of production. Now, I get that in certain states, it can be very concentrated and it doesn't feel that way whatsoever. But because of the productivity of the American farmer and because of things like agrivoltaics, where you can dual use, farm the ground and graze it and or raise certain crops, there are definitely ways to make renewable energy and farming work hand in glove.
Okay, Jeff, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I know that there'll be some who are already in leases. There'll be some who've turned down leases. There's some who are looking at them, and then others that it hasn't even crossed their mind yet. So I know this is somewhat of a loaded question, but is there a piece of advice you would have for those as we travel down this road, or as we maybe try to get unstuck out of the ditch here? I mean, there's a lot of different scenarios, but you have some advice?
Yeah, I think our biggest piece of advice is slow down after you get approached by a developer and get independent advice. And not to be, self-promoting here, but find another farmer or rancher that has been through the process. And we connect our farmers and ranchers all the time in that manner, because they're going to be able to tell you the best story. They're the most trustworthy because they know exactly what you're going through. And we really see people kind of acting too quickly. They might see the dollar signs. They might not understand the lease. So we're saying, just step back, take a moment, give us a call. We can help you out. Or at the very least, talk to somebody else who's been through it so that you know you're making the right decision for, your land and your long-term legacy.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Jeff Risley's with us, Renewable Energy Farmers of America. How do we learn more?
Yeah, thanks for bringing it up. Yeah, it's renewableenergyfarmers.org. We have a lot of public information on there. You don't have to be a member to get a lot of that, but to get a lot of our services, you do. And, membership, we have three categories of membership from $50 to $250 a year based on, your particular needs and where you are in the renewable energy journey. So check us out. And We're there to help.
Again, Jeff Risley, Executive Director, Renewable Energy Farmers of America. I'm Tony St. James. This is the Agribusiness Report.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Innovation, one of the pillars of Agriculture Department plans to combat New World screwworm and prevent its entry into the U.S. The latest step in innovative approaches was recently announced in the form of USDA's New World screwworm Grand Challenge.
Under the Grand Challenge, USDA is making up to $100 million to basically review, vet, and hopefully operationalize technologies and new innovations that are going to build our toolbox in preventing the spread, the impact of the screwworm.
Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs Dudley Hoskins says four priority areas make up the focus for innovation under the NWS Grand Challenge. Proposals must be submitted by February 23rd. More details about the New World Screwworm Grand Challenge are available online at www.aphis.usda.gov. Click the funding tab on the homepage. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.